Well, no doubts about the big game of the weekend in Australia. That is the return of the Matildas after a near two-year exile from home soil as they take on Brazil in the first of a two-game series at Combank Stadium in Parramatta. The game will be broadcast live on SEN and, of course, Channel 10 as well. And Adam Peacock and Leah Blaney are going to be behind the microphone on SEN. And Adam joins us now, fresh from digging out his favourite tea towel to wear in homage to the new overlords of Newcastle United. It's a very good evening to Al Adam Peacock. How are you, mate?
They've actually been told. I don't know if you saw this, guys. Evening, by the way.
Jeff. Evening.
I don't know if you saw it. Before we get to Matildas quickly, the club had to put out a statement overnight to say, we get the sentiment, but can you please not, when you're coming to the game, wear that kind of stuff, the paraphernalia, because it's, could be viewed by some as culturally...
As disrespectful. But absolutely.
Yeah, but it's just the Geordie enthusiasm. You know all about it, Simon.
I do. And to be fair, Man City did it the same when the Emiratis took over at City back in 2008. Just on the takeover, I take it the general feeling among the Toon fan base is a positive one, as if I need to ask, given that Mike Ashley's gone.
Yeah. And it's as much about that as who's coming in. The who's coming in is like the dessert to the main course of what's become of the club over the past 14 years. And the main course is finally over, unfortunately, because Mike just ran the club how he saw fit, and that was to set it up nicely for sale, but not do anything with it. That's why Rafa Benitez left halfway through. Like he basically got it to a point. Rafa said, "Give me some more," and Mike said, "No, you've got enough. Operate with that." And then Rafa went to China. So I spoke to my uncle a couple of times since it's happened, and he said that the whole town is beside itself because, oddly enough, that the town's mood. And you know this, you've been there a few times. Basically, in football season, it swings with the results of the football team. It's just ridiculous. That notion is ridiculous, but that's what happens. Yeah. So, it's a different place at the moment.
It's the Geordie nation, that's for sure. Let's talk about the Australian nation and the Matildas in particular. Interesting build-up, to say the least, with all the off-pitch stuff still dominating some of the headlines, Adam. We're not going to talk about those specifically because that would probably need another show for that, but do you think that will impact Tony Gustafsson's preparations and, more importantly, their performance? It's got to have some sort of an effect, hasn't it, I guess?
You'd imagine, but they've been greatly aided by the fact that they're in a bubble. So I know for a fact, you know for a fact, Boski, you've been a player, when something like out of the ordinary happens, and this is extraordinary out of the ordinary, that journalists get sent to press conferences who you wouldn't ever see at a football press conference. And they'd be fishing and they'd be trying to bait people into answers and get things out of it in a general sense. Now, they don't have that. That's just not happening at the moment because there's no face-to-face and they're in a bubble and they're handling everything electronically. So I actually don't think it's going to be as big an issue as what maybe people might imagine it to be, because they're in this bubble, they're locked away. I think the crowd on Saturday night, the first one, it'll be full of young girls who want to play for the Matildas. Their heroes are playing, Sam Kerr, Captain Ford, etc. Alana Kennedy playing her 100th game for the Matildas, probably. I don't think it's going to affect them greatly, but what it does emphasise, I think, and it crystallises it even more, is the need to have a good result. And that's on a number of levels, namely one of them being what's happened in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree. I think the result definitely is important. But I agree, Adam. I don't think it will have, in terms of the performance, I don't think that we will notice any difference with everything that's been happening. I think, you know, that sort of bunker mentality where they're trying to shut all that out, they'll deal with that, you know, when it's appropriate. But they've got a big game coming up. They don't want to embarrass themselves.
Oh.
So this, it'll all be pushed aside while they're preparing for this game. I don't think it'll have an effect at all. But one area they do need to improve is their defence. I mean, how does Tony Gustafsson, how does he fix them? They're conceding a lot of goals.
Well, 30 this year, 30 goals they've conceded in 12 games, which is simply nowhere near the mark. So this, in my opinion, I don't know, I'll hand it over to you guys as well. This is as big as a friendly gets in terms of the need for a good performance. Usually with friendlies, and we saw this with Tony when he came in earlier in the year, it was adjusting, didn't quite have his best team, getting to know the players after just spending the whole time on Zoom. You can understand the first hit. It's got to the point where it's almost situation critical, where things need to a great amount of clarity needs to be had in terms of the team he picks, the style he plays, and defensively being a hell of a lot more solid than they've been. Because at the moment, they look so vulnerable without the ball, and especially in transition. What do you guys, where do you guys rank it in terms of importance? Yes, it's a friendly, but what do you reckon?
I totally agree. I mean, I call the game against the Republic of Ireland, and that defence really was open for business every time, you know, the Irish push forward. I did like the introduction of Angie Beard late on. I think she might be a shout for a start if he's going to continue the back three. Obviously, Ellie Carpenter is back. There are other, you know, big-name players back, Emily Van Egmond, Caitlin Ford, Kaya Simon. So that will steady the team structure overall. But I think you're right that defensively that they look a bit of a mess at the moment. And that's, you know, that's not being unkind. I think it's the truth. And it's something that he's got to fix. And my question back to you, Adam, is, look, you know, we've all spoken to Tony. He's a super guy. I really like him. Do we need to ask some tough questions of him at the moment? Is he getting a bit of a free pass in maybe the way that Ange Postecoglou did in his first year, because he's trying to evolve this team into something a little bit different?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people in love with this team for good reason as well. What they've given football in the last couple of years, it's been fantastic, and the rise. So I think they're judged a little more easily than what a team in this predicament would ordinarily be. But now is the time to get it right, because there's an Asian Cup coming around and results really matter. The Olympics helped, beating Great Britain in that absolute thriller and just missing out on a medal. But the big one for me, I can't get my head around it, is Ellie Carpenter, who is an absolute weapon down that right side. And she's primarily being used as a right-sided stopper.
But that's through necessity, isn't it? That's through necessity because of the problems defensively, yeah.
And what about the...
they just don't have the numbers.
The goalkeeping position, and that's up for grabs. With Lydia Williams, Mackenzie Arnold, Tegan Mika, all have had some game time lately. Who does he go with?
Yeah, that's another big question. I'd rank them Tegan 1, Lydia 2, Mackenzie 3 at the moment, even though Mackenzie started against Ireland in that game on September 21. It's all pretty even. What is absolutely apparent, you get a good look at how good the goalkeeper is at the moment for the Matildas, because they're doing a lot, unfortunately, and they've got a lot of things to be involved with. Too much, way too much. For me, the big issue is the number six position, the defensive midfield position. We haven't settled on that. And, I mean, Elise Cullen-Knight is a massive, massive loss.
Chloe Legazza out as well.
She's had her injuries. Chloe's out with an injury. There's depth issues there and the back three. But the back three is made to look a hell of a lot better by a dominant organiser in front. At the moment, the Matildas don't quite have one.
Yeah. Just a final one, Adam. What's of Brazil? Of course, we know of Marta. She's still a great player, even though she's 35 now. What can we expect from them?
Yeah, it's a squad a little in transition. A lot are in transition, actually. It's about half the squad that played in Tokyo. They've got Pia Sundhage, who's the legendary coach, had a good time with Sweden and a very good time with USA. Obviously, it hasn't really got things going with Brazil because of the pandemic and stop-start and all of that, but they've had a very good 2021, and they only got beaten by penalties at the Olympics by the eventual gold medalist. So that kind of frank their form. I think there'd be a really tough ask for the Matildas. And they're a squad in transition. They've got Marta, another player to look out for. Debinha, surely that's Debbie. Surely she's Australian, her name's Debbie.
Little Debbie.
Debinha is her name. Yeah, little Deb. But good squad. Should be a good couple of games.
Certainly should be. Adam, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to your call on SEM with Leah Blaney on Saturday night from Combank Stadium. We're off for another break. On the other side of it, we will talk English Premier League with Spencer Pryor.